Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. As usual, the final episode of the season will be a Dynasty-centric episode, and we update our rankings as needed throughout the offseason. Just did the latest update yesterday, but I would highly recommend subscribing to Fantasy Consigliere if you don't already. The rankings would provide a massive boost in Dynasty leagues, and everything is built around our real-life NFL draft coverage, which just last season you can look at everything from Bo Nix as the QB2 to Tyrann Tracy, who went in the fifth round as our RB1, Bucky Irving, who went pick 125 as our number 65 overall player, Malik Nabers as the overall wide receiver 1, Ladd McConkey as a top 15 prospect overall, and many more, whether it's being higher or lower on a player. So let's jump right into it at quarterback with our dynasty rankings. I'm only going to give a few guys at each position, but the aforementioned Bo Nix we have as QB6. He began the year as the QB8, finished as a top 10 option in redraft leagues. Denver will only get better around him in terms of the supporting cast, so we think Nix is certainly worth a second round pick in dynasty startups and can still be had at a significant value based on the industry-wide view of him, but there should be no denying the talent anymore. Just listen to players around the league talk about him, former players, teammates, and some in the media that actually know what they're looking at. But he threw a total bomb touchdown to Marvin Mims last Saturday night that showed his high-end arm talent. So if he can be had for cheap, cheaper than a mid-range QB1, and we have him as a borderline top 5 option, then he's someone to certainly acquire this offseason. Right behind him, we have Caleb Williams. I keep going back and forth on who will hire Ben Johnson, or more accurately, where Ben Johnson will decide to go. But right now, I'd say Chicago, and that obviously be a huge boost to Williams. So if Johnson or whoever the coach ends up being is able to pair the structured offense with Williams' playmaking ability, there's plenty of fantasy upside. He's already put up huge numbers at times this season, and now could be the lowest his value will be if the Bears get higher right. And the final guy I mentioned at quarterback is Sam Darnold. We currently have him 14th in dynasty leagues. Basically, I don't see how the Vikings would go away from him based on how he's played this season. So in a great spot under Kevin O'Connell, throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, Darnold should be a high-end QB2, and I think he'll be re-signed by Minnesota. But if not, I'm sure Darnold, based on the career resurgence, will be selective in his next home. But barring some sort of epic collapse in the postseason, I don't think Darnold will be going anywhere. And looking ahead to 2025, the draft class, I'll just say the media always gets it wrong. The NFL often gets it wrong. There's already one guy that we think has high-end QB1 potential that people aren't really talking about. So I just say to be careful who you listen to. We have proven results over several years, and that also extends to running back. I mentioned the guys we were higher on just in this class. Looking at the rankings, others in the top 10 that we believed in strongly include Devon Achane as the RB4. We had him as, I think, the 38th overall prospect a couple of years ago. And Kyron Williams, we thought was worth a second round pick. He went in the fifth round. And even the guys above them, Jonathan Taylor, the RB3, we had as a top 10 prospect in 2020. Jahmyr Gibbs, we had as the number 11 overall prospect in his class. So it's important to hit on guys from a real life perspective. Situation obviously matters, but talent is the most important thing. And 2025 looks like a stacked class for the rookies. And I think we do a good job sorting through all that and giving the best possible advice to follow. Sticking with the current rookies, we have Bucky Irving in the top 10 as the RB9. He's an all-purpose weapon for Tampa Bay. I think the comparison we gave was James White when he would go off in the playoffs, but more of a full-time basis for Irving. So he's not someone I would consider selling high on. For Tyrann Tracy Jr., we have him as the RB16. You could even make the case for him being a few spots higher. We'll see what happens in New York in terms of the coaching staff and management, but he's another well-rounded runner that should be the centerpiece alongside Malik Nabers. And hopefully next season he's more involved as a pass catcher, including more complex downfield routes that he can run as a former wide receiver. And down to the RB26, Braylon Allen, he's stuck behind Breece Hall with the Jets, but maybe we'll get a run-heavy coaching staff. I guess there's even a chance that Hall is traded to open the door for Allen to be a lead back. But ideally, if that doesn't happen, I don't think it will. A coaching staff would come in that wants to run the ball, and we see in Detroit, we see in Tampa Bay for a bit, other places that multiple running backs can have success. So based on the talent of Allen, he's someone to invest in as a low-end RB2 option. And the final guy I'll mention at running back is Travis Etienne. We still have him as a high-end RB2 based on his ability. this year was a lost season for the entire Jacksonville team. We'll see what happens with their coaching staff. I would think maybe an offensive mind to get the best out of Trevor Lawrence, and Etienne's proven to be a weapon in his career. If a coaching staff consistently uses him in the passing game, he can be an RB1 like he was a couple of seasons ago. So I think now's a good buy low opportunity for him. At wide receiver, plenty of reason to be excited about the rookie class, especially Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey, and Brian Thomas Jr. But I'd say keep investing in Keon Coleman. He's flashed big-time ability, despite more of a spread-the-wealth offense for the Bills. That might always remain the case to keep his statistical ceiling lower. But Coleman has big play ability, jump ball ability, plays with a superstar quarterback, high touchdown upside, can make things happen with the ball in his hands. So we have him close to McConkey and Thomas, and he's another guy with a definite buy-low window for those maybe frustrated about his production compared to others. For the more veteran players but still young, we have Devonta Smith as a wide receiver 9 and George Pickens as a wide receiver 11 in Dynasty Leagues, two guys with mega talent that remain undervalued, so I'd check into their prices. Smith just had a big game, so maybe hope he has a quieter postseason before making a potential move. And Pickens, I don't know where the talk comes of the Steelers needing a wide receiver 1, but he's that guy in my opinion. Good stylistic fit with Russell Wilson, so both guys should be viewed as wide receiver 1s. The names lower in the rankings to keep in mind include Romeo Doubs. We think he's the best wideout for Green Bay, and he continues to get better. Marvin Mims, finally being featured more on offense, so we'll see if that continues next season. And Jahan Dotson is trapped behind A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith with the Eagles, but we liked him a lot coming out of Penn State, and he could benefit from a full offseason with the team to be more of a factor in 2025. At tight end, we still have Dalton Kincaid as a high-end option, right behind Brock Bowers in Dynasty Leagues. Bowers benefits from being the clear guy in Las Vegas, and I'm sure he'll get a quarterback boost this offseason. But Kincaid is a bubbling superstar, and as mentioned earlier this season, if you don't want to take our word for it, listen to guys like Tony Gonzalez, one of the greatest of all time, and Matt Ryan talk about him. The numbers weren't great this season, but he was injured, and he's probably the top overall buy-low target in Dynasty Leagues. And then as the tight end 3, this is probably more controversial. You can make a case for Trey McBride, George Kittle, Sam Laporta, but we currently have Kyle Pitts. He was clutch on Sunday night, still just 24 years old, and you would think a trade is a possibility, ideally to a team that would use him more outside the numbers where he's a clear mismatch. But Pitts was a total freak at Florida, and I think he's at least a top 5 option in Dynasty Leagues, with the hopes that ability is fully unlocked. And the final guy I'll mention at tight end, more of a value addition for your roster, is Jatavion Sanders, another guy that dealt with injuries this season, but the rookie flashed at times, showed a well-rounded game at Texas, and could put up big numbers as soon as next season at a position that it often takes time to develop at. So that will conclude this episode. Again, we update our Dynasty rankings all throughout the offseason. We'll have Week 18 rankings updated through Sunday morning for those still playing, and we'll have 2025 NFL draft coverage starting next month. Until then, Happy New Year, and thank you for listening. I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.